Nick and Jake. A nostalgic look back at those halcyon days of the McCarthy era. A journey through literature and history, starring Alan Arkin, Tom Conti, and Ally McGraw. Previously on Nick and Jake, Nick gained an insight.
There's tragedy in that Negro's eyes, and I suppose that behind every tragedy, there's a hero.
That's very good. You should use it if you start writing again.
And Christine gave Jake an insight.
You're American to the core, darling, and you love the damn country. Always have, always will.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Alan Dulles to Irving Kristol. Can't allow strong figure like de Gaulle to consolidate power in France. Operation Desert Rat ready to roll, and that's our out-of-town tryout, the new haven of our strategy. If it's a hit, Operation Elba, our Broadway opening. Domino theory, if it plays in Iran, no reason it won't work in France. Operation Elba swings into gear. Europe rolls over like circus poodle. Need to keep France weak and confused. Dulles. Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Alan Dulles to Robert Cohn. Do you really have that nephew of yours under control? Have doubts about the wisdom of this strategy. Dulles.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Claire Booth Luce to Alan Dulles, CC, Irving Kristol, Robert Cohn. I have a plan for France. We're building up one of their Politician of the Month Club ciphers, Pierre Mendès France, to give the illusion he's a figure of strength. But we're secretly indoctrinating him to believe that wine is sapping the French moral fiber. When the moment is right, we'll have him photographed drinking milk, then the whole government should collapse again. CBL.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Alan Dulles to Claire Booth Luce, CC, Irving Kristol, Robert Cohn. Brilliant. This is the kind of thinking we need in the new Europe. Want you to stay in Paris a little longer. With that idiot Cohn on the scene, not comfortable with Carraway as our agent in place. Dulles.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Robert Cohn to Alan Dulles, CC, Irving Kristol, Claire Booth Luce. I have a plan for Roy. Of course that faggot nephew of mine will fuck things up. We turn it to our advantage. You need to be more creative in your thinking, Dulles. Semper paratus. Remind me sometime to tell you about my theory of using different sides of your brain. Cohn.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9. From Alan Dulles to Robert Cohn. CC, Irving Kristol, Claire Booth Luce. This is a government service, and there are ladies reading these cables. Please watch your language. Do nothing without clearing with me, Dulles.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9. From Irving Kristol to Alan Dulles, CC, Claire Booth Luce. You know how Robert Cohn is. If he enters the picture, we need to throw all of our plans out the window. But we've improvised before. We can do it again. Meanwhile, if we want to include Barnes in the picture, we need to bring him into focus soon. The Cohns appear to have a grudge against him. Barnes and Carraway have been thick. I'd say it's time to move the Carraway pawn forward. Open up that gambit. Of course, this could mean throwing your man to the wolves if we go to the improvisation mode. Problems with that? Kristol.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9. From Alan Dulles to Irving Kristol, CC, Claire Booth Luce. Don't waste words. These cables from our budget. Ambassador Luce ready to step in so it can throw Carraway to wolves if need be. Barnes too, Dulles.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Robert Cohn to Alan Dulles.
CC Irving Crystal, Claire Booth Luce.
Allie, don't worry about a thing. Trust me, Robbie.
Encrypted and Decoded, 4-9, from Irving Crystal to Alan Dulles. CC Claire Booth Luce. I'm an intellectual, remember? To me, this is being concise. No problem in throwing bonds to the wolves. If we can use them, all to the good. But I've been talking to Philby, and he tells me there's scuttlebutt over in MI6 about Encounter having ties to the company. I'm thinking if Cohn ends up making Barnes the scapegoat, we can distract attention away from certain other Encounter editors, such as your humble servant, Crystal.
Apartment C, 14½ McDougal Street, New York, April 9th, 1953. Dear Nick? There, I said it. Do I seem like a forward, brassy girl? I hope not. It sounds strange, but nice. From what you tell me, I guess you did make a mistake with Mr. Powell about Mr. Monk, but how could you know? I wouldn't have either just a few days ago. The thing about Mr. Monk is, he's a genius, and he's been so terribly mistreated that his friends feel really protective of him. I found that out when a couple of Mr. Scheinblum's friend, a very gentlemanly Turkish man named Ahmet Erdogan, and his partner, a real New Yorker named Jerry Wexler, took me to a club in Greenwich Village, where they said Thelonious Monk would be playing. It was a secret, because they couldn't advertise it, because Monk, that's what they call him, Monk, do I sound like a sophisticated New Yorker? Isn't allowed to play in any clubs in New York. Mr. Wexler told me why. It's because jazz is a blow for freedom, and the establishment wants to wipe out freedom. So Monk was arrested on some trumped-up charge, and now he can't get a cabaret card, which means he can't play his music anywhere in New York. And that's about the most unfair thing I ever heard, next to what happened to you. Anyway, the musicians were already playing when we got there, and suddenly there was a hush over the whole room, and I looked up, and the kitchen door opened, and out walked Monk. He has an aura about him that makes you tingle. He started playing, and at first nothing seemed to fit. All these notes, they weren't exactly chords. They were more like jammed together as if he was squeezing them into a ball in his fist instead of playing them, but then I started to hear them differently, and suddenly, bit by bit, they started to come together as if these were the harmonies of the angels from the heaven of whatever strange world it was that Monk lives in. And all I could think was, I wish I could sing that. Sometimes I get so tired of Michael Row the Boat Ashore. Then somebody yelled out, "Cops!" And the next thing I knew, they were hurrying Monk off the bandstand and out the kitchen door again, and suddenly four policemen came running in, swinging nightsticks. It was scary. They wouldn't let any of us leave until they'd taken everyone's name and address down. So I guess that's why Mr. Powell acted so odd. I know it didn't really have anything to do with you. It's Monk. People get fierce about him. You should have seen how they took care of him that night with the police. I never saw anything like it. Funny, I always thought of policemen as our friends, but then I always thought of our government as good people protecting us from the communists. But so many things are happening to me. In many ways, I'm not the girl you knew. I hope you'd still like me. I hope you'd like me better. I feel like I'm not a girl anymore. I'm a woman. Your special friend, Ronnie.
Nick and Jake was written and directed by Tad Richards and Jonathan Richards, with music by Dave Grossen. Featured in the cast were Natasha Warner as Ronnie Gilchrist, Ambassador Joseph Wilson as Alan Dulles, Valerie Plame Wilson as Claire Booth Luce, Jonathan Richards as Robert Cohn, and Jack Caffrey as Irving Crystal. Tune in next time to hear Jackie Suzanne say,
"You can have a fling or two, but when you get ready for the one that counts, here are your Aunt Jackie's three rules for choosing a man."